today is John chapter 8, and these verses here, 34 through 36, John chapter 8, verses 34 through 36. So if you could find that, and if you are physically able, would you stand and let's read these? While I read these verses audibly, you lay your eyes upon them in your Bible or here on the screen if you prefer. And that's the first blessing. The first blessing is to read the Word of God. And then the next blessing is for Him to meet us, you see. So we need God to meet us in the Scriptures so we can really benefit from them. So in John 8, Jesus is speaking here. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Joel, y'all get that? If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Father, we love you on this great day. And we thank you that you have come into our lives and we have experienced the liberty that comes with the mighty hand of God reaching into our circumstances and reaching into our hearts, reaching into our families, reaching into all of the things that bound us and loosing us, Lord, that we might be children of the Most High God. And we confess today, Lord, that it's good to be in the kingdom of God. It's good to know you. It's good to love you. It's good, Lord, to have this kind of life, living this kind of life. There's no better way to live. And so we bless you today and ask you to meet with us as we come to the Scriptures. And Lord, if there's anyone among us here physically, anyone listening to us via Zoom, or anyone that might hear this message later that does not know this freedom, Lord, would you be gracious on their souls and bring the liberty of Christ so that they too might be set free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And so our subject for today is simply set free. Set free. Freedom should be cherished, right? It should be enjoyed. It's something that you benefit from. And so we want to start by remembering that. Freedom. Freedom should never be taken for granted, right? It should never be unappreciated or forgotten, because it is a wonderful thing, you see. And freedom always comes at a cost to someone. To someone. Your freedom, my freedom, anyone's freedom comes at a cost to someone. It costs someone some money, someone some time, someone some suffering. It costs war at times to be free. It costs death. And so there's always a cost to freedom. For freedom. Freedom. But you see, freedom implies the existence of bondage, doesn't it? Or slavery. And so it is with our topic today. Spiritual freedom implies spiritual bondage or slavery. And that's where we want to invest our time today, understanding the whole matter of how wonderful it is to be set free. But you see, you don't really appreciate being set free until you understand the slavery. Yeah? It's like when you go back to the creation. Why do we appreciate light so much? Because it began in darkness. You don't appreciate light until you've had to deal with real darkness. And, you know, many of you all in the city, I know there are times you have blackouts and you got rooms in your house where it's dark, but when you actually live in an area where you actually have no light and you can't see your hand and you don't know what's in front of you, then you really appreciate light. And so I'm saying to you all that in order to appreciate freedom, we have to talk about slavery. Okay? We have to talk about slavery. Now, we're not going to invest our time in physical slavery. We could talk a lot about physical slavery. But I'm more concerned about spiritual slavery today because we're talking about spiritual freedom. Okay? Spiritual freedom. And so, spiritual slavery is where we want to begin. And we want to begin with a description. Now, the thing is this. People are enslaved by spiritual forces that they cannot see, right? The Bible tells us that they are rulers and authorities and cosmic powers, spiritual forces in heavenly places. Y'all remember those verses in Ephesians 2 and when we worked our way through them a little while back, it talks about us being dead in our trespasses and sins. But listen at it. Verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom you once lived. And so, there's a spirit that of disobedience, a spirit that brings the slavery that we're talking about. And so we don't need to be naive when I say we're going to talk about spiritual slavery. This is real. It's real. And the ones that deny it are the ones that stay in slavery. You see? So people are enslaved by spiritual forces they cannot see. And this spiritual slavery controls. It controls people's thoughts and words and actions. You remember Proverbs 23? It says, as a man thinks, what? So he is. Or as he calculates in his mind, so he is. James says, what's the cause of these quarrels among you? It's not your passions, what, at work within you. And so people's thoughts controls their words and their actions. And so that's the battleground, is the mind. And so that's the reason the slavery is there. People are enslaved in their minds. And that's you look at them and you wonder, why don't they get it? Why do they keep doing the same thing? Y'all have heard me tell the story of the bear. You remember, I know you hadn't heard me tell it in a long, long time. But many of you remember my story about the bear, right? The bear that was caged up for all those years. And they set him free, took him out in the wooded area and set him free. And you know what he did? He marked off the territory just the same as where he was caged. And he just walked around in circles. Why? Because even though he was free, he wasn't free what? In his mind. And so spiritual slavery controls people's thoughts. Because when you got the mind, and this will be I know you hear a lot of this. You hear this a lot today. The mind is a precious thing, and it's sad to see how it's being wasted. But that's true. Young people's minds are just being wasted today. So, but that's the deal. That's Satan. He's going after the mind of these young people. And that's the reason you can't reason with them. Because they're under what? His control. Under his control. And so Satan tempts people. He tempts and he appeals and he enslaves with these natural desires. You know how John said it. Do not love the world or the things of the world. For the things of the world, these things are not from God. What? The lust of the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and what? Pride of life. They're not from God. They're not from God. But these are the ways that Satan uses to bring people into this slavish control. You see and you want. Your flesh desires because it tastes good or it feels good. Or I want to experience it, you see. Pride in life. I want it because it makes me bigger or better, you see. Or more powerful. And so Satan uses these things to appeal to people, and he never tells them that I'm leading you to prison. Well, actually, that's where we were born, in prison, and we didn't even know it. Yes?
Amen.
We were born in prison, just like the children that were born in Egypt. When you're born in slavery, you don't oftentimes understand because you've never been free. And that's the reason it's difficult as a Christian when you're talking to people and you don't understand why they keep going back, because they haven't experienced freedom. They haven't experienced spiritual freedom. See, you know it, but they don't. And so they stay in what? In the little circle that they know. That's the reason the Bible tells us to be gracious and merciful and kind and patient. You see, when we're dealing with people who are enslaved, when you're carrying the gospel, you be tenderhearted and compassionate, because you too once ran around in that circle. Yeah? All of us did. Enslaved. And so these are his tactics. These are his tactics. And it's interesting, as John goes after it in this text, we see that a habitual sinful lifestyle proves a person is a slave to sin. You see how Jesus says it here in verse 34? Jesus answered them. He's responding back to the Jews who consider themselves to be free. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." You see? And obviously, he's not talking about just an act. But John further clarifies it in 1 John. This is a practice. This is a lifestyle. And you did it. I did it. Every sinner did it before we came to Christ. We had a lifestyle of sin. Yeah, it might have been different degrees than other people. But when you're a slave, just because you live in a different part of the prison doesn't mean that you're free. Yeah. This habitual sinful lifestyle proves that a person is a slave to sin. So that's the description. Then what are the effects? I want us to think about that. The first effect, which many of you who know your Bible understand, is that the devil seeks to destroy the person. Why? Because people are made in the image of God. And so his desire is destruction. When he went after Adam and Eve, he went after them to destroy them. But he never told them that, did he? He told them how good things would, the fruit would taste, and what you would benefit from disobeying God. You become wise to yourself, and you become independent of God. You see all these things? He didn't tell them that I'm doing this, and you're gonna be destroyed. But look, oh my! God had already told them, in the day that you eat of the tree of the fruit of the tree of life, you were what? You're gonna die. You're gonna die. He already told them you're gonna be destroyed. Satan never told them that. He didn't love them. He didn't care. God was the one that loved them, and God was the one that cares. And so the devil seeks to destroy people because we're created in God's image, right? First Peter. He's like a roaring lion, your adversary. Like a roaring lion, roaming, moving to and fro, seeking someone else to devour. To devour. To destroy. Yeah. And so that's the effect that we know that he has when he brings you into this kind of slavery. The next thing we notice is that we see a lot of demon oppression and possession in the Bible. And don't just think that it ended in the first century. It's happening right now in our day. We just got so many different terms that we apply to it. Demon oppression and possession is intended to destroy. Turn to Mark 5. You'll probably remember this account, but I'd like for us to put our eyes on it together and just look at what I'm saying here. You got Mark 5. We only read the first five verses. They came to the other side of the lake, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs. Now he's possessed by the devil, okay? He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs, on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. You see it? Destroying himself. Destroying himself. And later on we learn when Jesus delivers a person from demon possession, it says that they are then in their right mind, doesn't it? They're in their right mind, which means that mentally before they were enslaved. You get it? So, oh my, I'm trying here. This is the deal, is that people aren't in their right minds when they're unsaved. They don't care where they work. Doesn't matter where they live. It doesn't matter how many levels of management they are above you. It doesn't matter what kind of degrees they have from an institution. That doesn't matter. If they're unsaved, they are still enslaved. You get it? And this is important. And that's why they do some of the gross things that they do. Some of the most intelligent people do some of the grossest things behind closed doors. And I don't just mean outside the church. Within the church. Within the church. And you try to figure out, well, how could they do that? Because they're enslaved. They don't know God. And they keep running around in the same circle. This is so important. To expect a person to live like they're free when they're not is a false expectation. It's the reason we want to make sure that people have been born what? Again. Why do you experience such liberty? You've been born again. Destruction. Slavery makes slavery makes and keeps people spiritually blind. You get it? We were born blind, and some people die blind spiritually. You understand what I'm saying? You all know that wonderful text in 2 Corinthians 4, I guess it is. Know what I got there? 2 Corinthians 4:4. Listen to this. In their case, the God of this world has blinded their what? The minds of the unbelievers. You know that was in your Bible? In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Why? To keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. It's amazing, you see. He wants to keep them in slavery so they can sit and look at you and nod their heads and agree with you, but never be set free. Satan would love to keep them in that kind of deception, you see. Makes and keeps people spiritually blind. You know the text, 1 Corinthians 2, that talks about the natural man, right? Can't understand the things of the spirit, right? Because they're spiritually discerned, and we're so blessed to have the mind of Christ ourselves, so we can discern those things that are spiritual. Now, the other thing here is that Satan uses people to carry out his destructive plan. All of you know the story of Judas, right? Well, I believe it's Luke 22 that says to us that Satan entered Judas. Now, he was already controlled by him, but the whole idea here is that then he just fully possesses him. And I'm telling you that some of our young people, the things they're getting exposed to, it's just setting themselves up to get fully possessed by the devil, to do the things that the devil wants. And we see it, the deterioration of our society and the family, the deterioration of our society everywhere, in every aspect. God has set up everything beautiful and good. And yet, the devil is going after the mind of these young people, making them think that something else is true, and something else is right, and something else is good. And you're trying to reason with them. You can't reason with them until they've been set free. And that's the reason they need the gospel, not just you arguing and debating with them. They need the gospel. The gospel. It doesn't matter where you find them. They can be good church members somewhere, or whatever the case may be. But if you see that they're enslaved, they need the gospel. You understand what I'm saying? He uses people to carry. And so Jesus said, there were going to be wolves in what? Sheep clothing among us. Who are these wolves? They are slaves to Satan, carrying out his plan and his purpose. And so we are not to be surprised by this. We're not to be surprised by this. You all following me? And he uses people to carry out his destructive plan. And I'm telling you, my heart was breaking as I worked. I had another sermon planned for the day, and I told my wife about, I don't know, it was seemed like Saturday. God just changed direction. And so I started thinking about it. You think about it. Think about how the world is littered with the peoples whose lives have been destroyed. Littered with them. Everywhere you look, lives have been destroyed by Satan. They are idolaters, and the sexual perversion that's everywhere. Everywhere. Lives are being destroyed thinking that I can do what I want to do. I can. That's my truth, and I live by my truth. That's your truth. And you see how he's got their minds so perverted. And their lives are being destroyed. They're thieves and liars and murderers and drunkards and drug addicts, swindlers and, oh my, everywhere. Sorcerers and people into witchcraft and tarot cards and all of these areas, false teachers and false preachers and church members who are just deceived. Doesn't your heart break to think about all the collateral damage? Every person is a person created in God's image. Look at all these empty seats. Your heart ought to break. Amen. And yet, there are environments where Satan is using people to attract thousands of folks. With the Bible. Yeah. You understand? We're going to get to this in a minute, but you see, they have come with the illusion that they're going to be free. And yet Satan is using someone to keep them what? Enslaved. Running around in the same circle. Chasing the same thing that everybody in the world is chasing after. It's tragic. The world is just littered with people's lives that have been ruined. People, oh my, I know I can't keep talking, spend much time here. But I mean, people on Social Security's life are ruined. Because of some false teaching that they got. You know, some older people, younger, old. It's terrible. Lives littered. You know how, what was his name? The one that went to prison for all that massive financial fraud. What is it? No, the financial fraud. Bernie Madoff.
Bernie.
Now, you remember how, people jumping out of windows, committing suicide, and because what? They lost the saving. They lost what they lived for. Well, I'm telling you, that's happening spiritually with people. They're losing their soul because of Bernie Madoffs. Have been used spiritually to lure them in. To say, come. Come. And offering them something that's in the Bible. You know, Peter says it's just empty promises. Clouds with no rain in them. Oh, my. Littered. Littered. And Jesus said, you'll go thousands of miles to make a proselyte and make them twice the son of hell. people, they're doing evangelism, the same, and I don't need to say them. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So massive. Ruining people's lives under the pretense of setting them free. Don't your heart break? And I'm going to leave this, but you know, the effects of sin is so massive. The Bible says that even nature was subjected to sin involuntarily, right? Romans 8:21. So that's just how massive Satan's influence and the effects of his influence has been on God's good creation. So anyway, I gotta move on. So that's spiritual slavery, and I want to talk about freedom. Now, I needed to do that so that you can really appreciate what I mean when I talk about freedom. That's the slavery. But let's think about spiritual freedom. Now, unfortunately, even when it comes to freedom, you've got false freedom. And it's so deceptive. You go back to John 8. And you see, that's what Jesus is dealing with here. You see verse 33? He's talking to these Jews and telling them how they need to be set free. And you see how they respond to him? John 8:33. They answered him, "We are offsprings of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone." You get it? That's how deceived they were. That's how deceived they were. How is it that you say that you will become free? Get it? They're so convinced that they're already free that they won't even listen to the truth. Now, this is the truth who is the word that has been manifested live standing in front of them, and they're still defending this deceptive lifestyle that they have. And so you got people today, again, that assume because of their genealogy that they're free, because of my grandfather and my this and my that and my uncle was a this, and you see, and assume, make assumptions that I come from a good Christian family and I do this, and I, you see, and people make a wrong assumption today that you're free because of your family tree. People make false assumptions that you're free because you prayed what they call the sinner's prayer or signed some card, you see. Assume that has set you free. Assume that you're free because you've been baptized. Assume that you're free because you've joined a church. You understand? This is how deceptive this is. But this is not real freedom. And so Jesus warns about it in Matthew 7. He says that many, right, will come to me on that day saying, "Lord, Lord." And you see, right, I was involved so actively in the church and the things of the Lord. And he'd say, "Well, depart from me." Yeah, but you weren't free. You didn't know me. Get it? So Jesus is the only one capable of setting captives free. That's a wonderful verse. Can you turn to Luke 4? He's the only one capable of setting captives free. Verse 18, the Spirit, Jesus speaking, said he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim what? Liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can do that. He says that Jesus will go on and say the Son of Man came to what? Seek and save the lost. Only Jesus can do that. Go back here to John 8. That's the reason John 8:36 is so important. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Yeah. That's the deal. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. No one comes to the Father. No one gets set free, but what? Through me. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. He's the only one. He's the only one. Jesus saves those who Satan has attempted to destroy. Y'all remember that long list in 1 Corinthians 6? Let's just turn there. I don't like to just quote things. I like for you to put your eyes on it at times. 1 Corinthians 6. You remember this long list here, verses 9 through 11? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. But then look at verse 11. And such were what? Some of you. But you were what? Washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You were set free.
Amen.
This is wonderful. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. That's how we got free. How? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Not to give you a car. Your car doesn't save you. Your house doesn't save you. Your job doesn't save you. A good spouse doesn't save you. Jesus saves. Whether you get any of those things or not, Jesus saves. And that ought to be enough. That ought to be enough. That ought to be. Well, what are the effects? The effects are, I can't do anything but just kind of scratch the surface, but you know, you don't have any more condemnation, right? There is therefore now what? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He gives abundant life. The devil, the enemy, comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give what? Life, and that what? More abundantly. Hallelujah! This is what, these are just some of the things. A sinner becomes a child of God. And again, I don't want to keep quoting. Turn to 1 John 3. You got to put your eyes on some of these because it's wonderful. It belongs to us. This is the word of God which he's given to us and for our benefit. 1 John 3, listen to it. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called what? Children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children, and now and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Yeah. A sinner becomes a child of God. That's a great benefit. Another benefit is that Jesus delivers you from worry. You know Philippians 4, 6, and 7, right? Be anxious for nothing, everything by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, what? Make your requests known, be made known to God, and what? The peace of God which surpasses understanding will guard your heart and mind. You get delivered from the fear of death. That's an amazing verse. Note that verse. That verse says that Satan used to use the fear of death to keep people enslaved. That's an important verse. Hebrews 2:15. He uses the fear of death to keep people enslaved. You get delivered from his accusations. The book of Revelation talks about him as being the what? The accuser of the brethren. The accuser. He's the one that comes to you when you've been set free and brings up all these things from your past. And you have to learn to fight that. With the weapons of our warfare that are what? Not of the flesh, but have divine power to tear down those strongholds and bring every thought of what? Captive to the obedience of Christ. And so when he comes with those accusations, you have to bring it back to the word. What does the word say about me? Not you, Satan. Not you. It frees you from legalism. For freedom, you have been set free. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:1. And so why you keep drifting back, you see, into that legalism from racism and sexism and classism, all those kind of things I mentioned in Galatians 5. Where in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor male nor female, nor slave nor free, right? See? For we are what? All one in him. So you get delivered from all of these things that plague people that are still in slavery, still fighting race wars, still fighting sex wars, still fighting classism wars, and still thinking you're better than someone else. And you see, what is that? That's slavery. That's slave thinking. They don't even know it. A person that thinks you're better than someone else doesn't even know that you're a slave. That's the way slaves think. It's the person that's free that understands who I really am. Yeah. I don't need money to define who I am. My skin color doesn't define who I am. You see? You understand this? Because I'm free. Oh my. And it's so much more. There's so much more. There's so much more. The believer becomes a recipient of grace and forgiveness and compassion, steadfast love and new mercies every day. Becomes a recipient of genuine hope and protection and provision. Becomes a recipient of counsel and guidance and teaching, reproof, correction and training. Recipient of precious promises and joy and peace and kindness. Wisdom from God, divine strength. Becomes a recipient of spiritual gifts and ministry and help. Victory in Christ and glorious future. And the list just goes on and on and on and on because we've been set free. So why would I go back to that slavery? You understand? Never let the devil make you think that it was better before. It was not. It was not. Well, thank you for your patience. And so as we wrap this up, brother, sister, we can see that God has loved us and set us free in Christ. Yeah? This freedom was costly. And because it costs Christ so much, we worship, adore, praise, and honor, and obey him. We must not, cannot, shall not take this freedom for granted. Why? Because it's precious, it's rewarding, it's unique in every way. You have been set free from Satan, from his condemnation, from his accusation, from his guilt and his shame. You've been set free from worry about your past, your present, and your future. You've been set free from trusting in yourself, your skills, your talent, your intellect, your money, or your blessing. You've been set free to love life and have good days. You've been set free to enjoy the blessings of God. Free to have a generous heart. Free to have gracious words and a gentle character and spirit. Free to be kind. Free to be tenderhearted, forgiving, and merciful. Free to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Free to smile and have joy deep down in your soul. You've been set free to rejoice with and be exceedingly glad. Free to rejoice with joy inexpressible and filled with glory, free to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the Lord, knowing that your labor in Christ is not in vain, free to know that you are more than conquerors in Christ. All of this and so much, so much, so much, so much more is because Christ has what? Set us free.
Amen.
So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed.
Yes.
If you are not a Christian, then you've not experienced this freedom. And you will not experience it unless you come to Christ. You have to believe on Him that brings freedom. You have to believe on Him that offers real freedom. Believe on Him. Trust Him. And you will know what we're talking about here today. The Son sets you free, my friend. You will be free indeed. Father, I want to thank you for these few minutes.